Amen. I sure do love that song. And His grace is truly amazing. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. So we continue our study through the book of Hebrews. Jesus is greater. And as we learned for several months last year, that Jesus is greater, then we got into chapter 11, and we've kind of slowed down just a little bit, looking at the heroes of the faith, these great men and women who did great things, but they were people just like us. They were sinners. They were people who did stupid things. It's always encouraging to me when I find people in the Bible that did stupid things. Amen? It just helps me. Because even though they did stupid things, even though they did not always walk in faith, even though they were not perfect and they did not do everything just right, yet here they are listed by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, as people who were men of faith. And listen, friend, you and I are never going to be perfect in this life. Amen. But have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Walk in that faith. And God will bless you in spite of yourself. And that's encouraging to me. The title of the message this morning is Faith in Death. And I need to make sure you understand what I mean. I don't mean you need to trust in death. I mean that in death you need to trust in God. And this morning we're going to look at a few men from the Old Testament who had faith in God. But they didn't just have faith in their life. But even when they were dying, they had faith in God. Because they believed the promises of God, they were able to pass on a blessing to the coming generations because they knew this. God promised our father Abraham something, and God promised me something, and God promised my children something, and I believe the promises of God. I haven't seen those promises fulfilled. I haven't received the things that God told me I would, but I know that it's going to happen because He said it would happen. And it didn't happen in my father's time, it didn't happen in my time, but one day God is going to do what He said He would do, and they had faith in God for those promises, and they had a focus on these physical blessings that God would give, but ultimately their faith and their focus was on a heavenly city. It wasn't about what God would do here, it was about what God would do in eternity. We need to understand that today. God does have blessings for us in this life. Praise God for that. In the midst of all of our trials and troubles and tribulations, God is always there, and He will provide and He will bless His own. But ultimately, it's not really about what happens here. It's about what happens in heaven. It's about that eternal city that God has prepared for those who trust in Him. And we want to have that focus today. Have faith in God, even in death. And I want to tell you, I have seen God's grace in men and women who were facing death. I've seen women and men who were at death's door and had great peace in their heart because the grace of God was on their life. Amen. Because they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that you can come to the end of your days and know that God's promises are always true. If you're able, let's stand together. We'll read three verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20, 21, and 22, the Word of God says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Please help us to understand it today, that I would preach exactly as You'd have me to. Lord, if there is anyone here who needs to make a decision for You, for salvation or baptism, to serve You in the church, to repent or confess some sin, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that as You convict hearts today, that we would be obedient and that Your will would be done in every life. Lord, help us to walk by faith. Lord, help us to trust in You today and every day and forever. Lord, please bless and grow our faith through Your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. And so we see the lineage as it carries on. Last week we learned about the faith of Abraham and all that he did. And listen, Abraham came from a land of pagans. He came from ungodly people. And yet when God called him, he heard God, he believed God, and he obeyed God. And he did that throughout his life. Now, Abraham wasn't perfect. He sinned against God. He didn't always have great faith. But overall, his life was a life of faith and following God. And you and I, friends, we are not going to be perfect. We're not always going to do things right. We're not always going to live without doubt. But listen, overall, our life needs to be in one direction, and that's towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we start to get off to the side, we need to repent and get back in line. And if we start to turn to the right, get back in line. You start to turn to left, get back in line. And overall, our life can be a life of faith. And if our life is a life of faith, then one day when we face death, we can face death even in faith. Amen. I got a news for you today. 10 out of 10 people die. I've asked a lot of people that, knocking on doors or just talking to people in the community, and I'll say, hey, did you hear the statistic that 10 out of 10 people die? And they'll go, no, I didn't hear that. You call it a statistic and you give it like that, it kind of messes people up. But the fact is, we might not want to think about it, we might not want to face it, but it is the reality. All of us have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I remember as a young man, I was 17 years old when I started preaching, and I was very excited to get to preach the Word of God. I was a terrible preacher, and I haven't gotten much better, but it was just awful. I remember those first few sermons, and I try not to. I don't like to think about it. And some of you have known me for a long time. You can probably remember some of those and would like to forget. But I'm telling you, I was so excited to get to preach and got to go preach in different places and different things. But it never entered into my mind, Brother Bill, when I surrendered to preach. I never even thought about doing a couple of things. And those two things were weddings and funerals. It never entered in my mind if I was going to be a preacher that I would have to do weddings and funerals until the first time somebody says, hey, we want you to be the preacher at our wedding. And I'm like, man, that's pretty cool. And that was all right. Of course, I know a lot of pastors that tell me that they would rather do a funeral than a wedding. If some of you have ever been involved with the organization planning and actually carrying through with somebody else's wedding, you understand that. That's awful, isn't it? Some of you are shocked, but I'm telling you the truth. A lot of guys are like that. And then I got the call to do a funeral. I've done more funerals than I care to remember and been involved either just graveside or preaching or doing the obituary or whatever. I've been involved with more funerals than I care to remember. And I want to tell you that's not something I thought of. That wasn't on the brochure. But when you are a pastor and you get those calls to do funerals, it keeps it in front of you all the time, the reality of death. And we would do well to keep that reality in front of us because of two things. Number one, you need to realize that one day you're going to die. And you don't know when that day is going to be. So you ought to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. You ought to make sure that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again, that you've repented of your sin and you put your faith and trust in Christ alone, that you're saved. You're born again. You have a home in heaven and you know that you're saved. So you ought to, you know, face up to the reality that you're going to die one day. Death is a reality and you need to know I'm going to face death someday and then I'm going to be judged by God. And I want to be at the judgment seat of Christ where he judges his own. I don't want to be at the great white throne judgment where he judges those who are outside of Christ, those who are unsaved. I want to be before the Lord forever. Amen. I want to know like David, I will be in the house of the Lord forever. And friends, you can know that today. John, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know. But we ought to not only face up to the reality of death for our own selves personally, we ought to face up to the reality of death for other people. Everyone you know is going to die. Now, that may not be encouraging to you. Maybe you don't feel uplifted today. I mean, really, just look around the room. Everybody's going to die. And let me tell you this. I can stand up here, I can look around the room, and you might think that I could look around the room and pick the ones who are probably closest to death. And some of you out there would be like, yeah, I'm on that list. I'm at the top of that. I'm closer than anybody else. But I've been amazed sometimes at the people you think, you know, they're probably not going to be around much longer. 20 years later, they're still kicking. Amen. And people you think are going to be around forever, we lay them in the ground. Amen. And the reality is, friends, we don't know. And so we better be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing our faith and helping others to know Him. But I'm just trying to help you to understand today that we have to not, we don't just need faith in God for now. We need faith in God that is real, so that when we do face death, when that day comes, we know where we're going, we're ready, we're prepared, and we're trusting in God. Not just for now, but for forever. And what a blessing that we can trust God for forever. I want to invite you to hold your place here in Hebrews chapter 11. We want to look at Isaac just a little bit. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And if you look with me to Genesis chapter 27, Genesis chapter 27, we want to look at a few different scriptures together this morning. Genesis 27, if you could find verse 23. Basically, the sermon today comes from three verses in Hebrews, and those three verses in Hebrews basically cover about 30 verses in Genesis. And we don't have time to go through all of the things that happened in the lives of Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Joseph, but as best I can, I want to try to look at some things that are very important for us to understand. Now, you remember Isaac had Jacob and Esau. You remember that even in the womb, there was conflict there. These boys, there was trouble from the very beginning. You remember that Jacob caught Esau's heel on his way out. He was a heel catcher. He was somebody who was a trickster. And throughout his life, he did a lot of things not right. I mean, you look at the life of Jacob and Esau, and those boys, they were a mess. They really were a mess. But God had made a promise to Abraham, and He passed that promise on to Isaac, and He passed that promise on through Jacob. And it's incredible just to see the grace of God in their lives. And I'm telling you, when you look at this family, when you look at all of the crazy things that happened and all of the sin that went on, it is a blessing to know that God's grace is sufficient even for me. Amen. And that's what I see when I look in these people's lives, is the grace of God. And you ought to take the time and go back and read through Genesis, and boy, it'll open your eyes to realize that God was gracious and long-suffering. People think that the Old Testament God was just a vengeful, wrathful God, and the New Testament God something different. Listen, God hasn't changed. And God was long-suffering with these people and put up with a lot of nonsense. But we come through it, and you'll remember that Esau had sold his birthright. Number one, God already said that the younger would be greater, that the older would serve the younger. That Esau was the firstborn, but Jacob would be the son of promise, that the promise would go through Jacob's line. We already saw, you'll remember, that Esau sold his birthright. The Bible says that he despised his birthright. He came in, Jacob had made some stew, some pottage, and Esau said, "Give me some of that." And Jacob said, "I'll give you some if you'll sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "Well, listen, what good is my birthright going to do if I starve to death? You can have my birthright. Give me a cup, or give me a bowl of stew." And he despised, the Word of God says he despised his birthright. It wasn't more valuable to him than a bowl of stew. Now, personally, when I read that, I think Esau was being a little dramatic. Amen. I don't think he was really about to die. Maybe he was, but I think he was kind of putting on a little bit. And so we come down to it at the end of Isaac's life, and so much had happened, but we don't have the time. But let's go down to verse 23. Genesis 27 and verse 23. And you'll remember that here Isaac thinks he's going to die. His eyes are dim. He can't see very well, and he thinks he's coming to the end of his life. And so he calls Esau in. He says, "Esau, I want you to go out and kill me a deer. I want you to make me some venison, some savory meat like I love. And when you go out and do that, I'll come back and I'll eat that. And I will bless you. I will give you the blessing. And that's what happened. When somebody was at the end of their life, they would give a blessing to pass those things on, kind of like giving on an inheritance. And so Esau is going to go out and go hunting. And in verse 23, we find that Jacob's mother had come up with a scheme. Listen, Esau's gone out to hunt. He's going to go get some deer for your dad. And he's going to bless him. But you, I want you to have the blessing. And so you go get me a couple of kids of goats, and I'll fix them just like Esau would fix a deer. And I'm going to dress you up in Esau's clothes, and we'll trick your dad into giving you the blessing. And so what was Jacob's response? He said, but he's hairy, and I'm a smooth man. He'll find me out. So Jacob didn't really have a problem with lying to his dad. He didn't have a problem with tricking him. He just had a problem with getting caught. You guys don't know anything about that, do you? I don't really have any problem with lying as long as I don't get caught. Well, that's the way he was. And we ought not be that way, but that's the way that he was. And so here we go in verse 23. He discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And what happened was that Jacob put on Esau's clothes, and his mom took some goat's hair and put it on his arms. Esau must have been a hairy dude. He felt like a goat when you touched his arms. And so he got the goat's hair on him, and he got Esau's clothes on him, and he fixed it, and his mom fixed up the goat meat so it was like the deer meat, and he brought it in, and he discerned him not. So he blessed him. Verse 24 says, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And so Jacob got the blessing from Isaac. Now listen, I do not know how God would have worked it all out otherwise, but this is obviously not God's plan that Jacob would lie to his father and pretend to be Esau. But Isaac was going against God's decree that Jacob would get the blessing. And so everybody's trying to do the wrong thing, and yet God works it out according to his plan. You cannot outmaneuver God. Isaac couldn't do it. Jacob couldn't do it. Esau couldn't. Nobody can outmaneuver God. God is going to accomplish his sovereign will. But Jacob got the blessing. And the Bible says in our verse, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Look at the blessing that Esau gets. Look at verse 30. It came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. See, it was all good family fun and values, right? No, these people were a mess. They were lying. They were tricking each other. All this stuff was going on. And did you notice Esau? He said that Jacob took away his birthright. The reality was Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. He didn't steal it from him. He willingly gave it up. The Word of God says he despised his birthright. And so all of this stuff was going on, and yet through it all, God would give a blessing. Even though they were a mess, in the end, they believed God, and therefore God would bless them. And God was able to give them a place in their heart that they could trust God for future blessings. And I want you to notice that the blessing that Isaac gave Jacob and Esau, it concerned the things to come. Things that Jacob couldn't know, that Isaac couldn't know. He trusted that God would take care of them because of the promise that God had given him. I want you to get this. You and I, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to come tomorrow. Listen, our nation is in turmoil right now. And there is so much crazy stuff going on in the world today, we don't know what the future holds. But I know this, God will care for his own. I think there's something here when we think about the future. It's one thing to trust God when you're about to die. But what an incredible thing that you can trust God not only for your own soul, but you can trust God that he is going to take care of your kids and your grandkids when you're gone. Amen. Do you see that? Amen. Listen, I'm not in any hurry to die. I don't know if any of you are, but I'm not in any hurry to die. But I know this, one day, my time on this earth is going to be over. It might be today, it might be in another 80 years. I have no idea. I told you my goal is 120. I don't know if I'll make it that far, but if I don't, I know this, God's going to take care of my wife and my kids when I'm gone. If they will trust in him, God will bless them. It doesn't mean their life's going to be perfect or without trouble and there's not going to be any trials or sickness or tribulation. No, it just means that God will be with them through it all. And that's what Isaac was able to trust God for future provision. He's going to take care. Well, how do we know that? James 1:17 says, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I know this, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm here to tell you today that God takes care of his own. And if you'll trust in him, his love will be with you. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have bad circumstances. It means that God will take all of your circumstances and turn them to your good if you love him and you're living for him. Amen. Their future provision. And that's what he was trusting God. Isaac was a mess. And Isaac, you don't really know much about him. The Bible doesn't say a lot about him. But here he has this shining moment when he thinks he's going to die and he blesses his boys. By the way, he lived for 43 more years. For 43 more years, Isaac lived after he thought he was going to die. He gave the final blessing. Isn't that awesome? He might have been a hypochondriac. I don't know. I can't see as good as I used to. I'm not feeling very good. I think I might die. And so he's going to bless his boys. I'm just telling you that they weren't perfect, but they still trusted God, and God blessed them even in spite of themselves. Verse 21 in our text, let's move on. Verse 21 back in our text says, By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And so if we rewind just a little bit, we think about Jacob. He had tricked his dad. He bought the birthright from Esau. He tricked his dad and got the blessing from Isaac. And then Esau wanted to kill him, so he ran away. He ran away and he went down to Laban. And you remember how he served there. And he served for Rachel, but he didn't get Rachel. He got Leah. And then he served for Rachel and he got Rachel. And then he served for cattle. And his father-in-law changed his wages 10 times. And Jacob had it rough down there with Laban. Laban really took advantage of him. And Laban told him, listen, since you've been here, God's blessed me. I don't want you to leave. I want to take advantage of this. This is a good deal for me. And yet through it all, no matter what he did, you'll remember that after he had all of the kids and all the things that happened, that Laban kept changing his wages. And every time he changed his wages, God would bless that way to where it would benefit Jacob. And by the time it was all done, Jacob had basically taken everything from Laban. God had given everything to Jacob. Jacob was blessed by God. Now, there were great consequences for his sin and tricking his father. Jacob never got to see his mother again. I mean, there were great consequences, but in the end, God still blessed him. And God blessed him with his sons, and he became very great, very wealthy, and he finally came back. And you'll remember how when he was on his way back home, they met a group of people, and they said, Esau's coming to meet you with 400 men. And Jacob was terrified. And so you'll remember how he got together a bunch of animals and a bunch of gifts, and he sent it ahead. And he said, listen, I want you to take all of these gifts to my brother Esau. And when you meet him and he says, what is this? Say that this is a gift from thy servant Jacob. And he follows. And then he divided up his family. You remember he had multiple wives, and he put the handmaids with their kids out front, and the other handmaid with her kids out front, and then Leah with her kids, and then he kept Rachel and her kids in the back because he loved them the most. And he sent them on ahead. But when Esau saw Jacob, he didn't fall on him with a sword. He fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and he welcomed him back. He had forgiven everything that had happened. Because God had blessed Esau. God had blessed Esau in a great way as well. And so we see Jacob in all his life and all that he went through. And you remember, I wish we had the time to go through all this more in detail, but you remember the 12 sons of Jacob and how Jacob loved Joseph more than any other, and he gave him the coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him. And then he had dreams about his brothers bowing down and worshiping him, and they hated him even the more. And so when he came out to check on him, they said, listen, there comes that dreamer. We'll kill him. And then we'll see what happens of his dreams. But then they got a better idea. They said, we don't need to kill him. We'll just throw him in a pit. And so they threw him in a pit, but then they saw the slave traders coming by, and they said, listen, there's no sense in not making something off of this deal. Let's don't just kill him. Let's sell him to the slave traders. At least we can make some money that way, right? And you remember how they killed the animal, and they put the blood on his coat of many colors, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they took him away into Egypt, and then they took the coat of many colors back to Jacob, their father, and said, is this your son's? We found it in the wilderness. And you remember, it broke Jacob's heart. He was devastated. And no matter what they did, they couldn't comfort Jacob because Joseph, his beloved son, was dead. You remember? And he said, I will go to my grave mourning. He said, I'm not going to be comforted because Joseph is dead. He would not be comforted. But all through Joseph's life, you remember he was sold into slavery and he went to Potiphar's house and he was faithful to God and God blessed him there. And Potiphar saw how the Spirit of God was in him. And so God blessed greatly in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar didn't know anything that he had. Everything was taken care of by Joseph. And you remember how Mrs. Potiphar got after Joseph and he would not lay with her. He kept rejecting her until she finally falsely accused him and he got thrown into jail. And he still stayed faithful to God. And in there, the jailer saw, man, this guy is blessed by God. And so he put Joseph in charge of everything in the prison. And no matter what happened in his life, Joseph was blessed by God because he was faithful to God. Now, you remember how God raised up Joseph in the end? He was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream, the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, and how that he saved not only all of Egypt alive, but other nations as well. And that's what brought Jacob and his sons back into Egypt. And God had blessed Joseph with a couple of boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And because of what all had happened, those brethren of Joseph meant it for evil, but God worked it out for good so that he could save much people alive. And when they came in and they moved to the land of Goshen, they stayed there and they were provided for. And then Jacob came to the end of his life. And when he was dying, Joseph came to see him, and he brought Ephraim and Manasseh with him, and they came in. Now look at Genesis 48. Y'all bear with me today. I'm trying to give you the whole book of Genesis in 35 minutes. Brother Rick keeps telling me that you ought to preach the whole counsel of God, but you don't have to do it in one sermon. And I keep not listening to him. But it's just too good to just blow over all of it. We need to get some of this stuff. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Genesis chapter 48. Actually, if you'll... Yeah, Genesis 48, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob, and he said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon his bed. You'll remember that God had changed Jacob's name to Israel. And so he was dying, but when he heard Joseph was coming, he strengthened himself. He sat up on his bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Do you get it? Joseph wanted the firstborn to get the blessing, the best blessing. That's the way it normally would go, but Israel knew something that Joseph didn't, and so even though he couldn't see, he knew what he was doing. He crossed his hands and put his right hand on the younger and his left hand on the elder brother. Do you get that? He can't see, but he understood, and he knew what he was doing when he did it. Okay, verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. And so Jacob, Israel, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he said Ephraim before Manasseh. And if you study your Bible at all, you'll know that Ephraim became great and mighty in the land of Israel, to the point that literally exactly like Israel said, many times Israel isn't even referred to as Israel, they're referred to as Ephraim. It's the way God blessed. And so he gave this blessing. Now I want you to get this. All that Jacob had gone through, all that he had seen, how he wrestled with God and everything in his life, when he comes to the end of his life and he knew that he was dying, and he got it right because he really did die right after this, he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, I don't know exactly all that that means, but we know this. When Jacob wrestled with God, God touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob was halt. He walked with a limp the rest of his life and very likely used that staff just to get around. And that staff that he had with him in his life was a reminder of his encounters with God, I believe. And he had no strength. He had to strengthen himself just to sit up on the bed. And you see this picture, him sitting on the cushion there, leaning on his staff, praising God for what God had done. He said, Joseph, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. And yet God has not just shown me you. He's let me see your children. And listen, friends, when you look at your life, you can look at what God has done. And don't you have great reason to worship God today? And if any of us, if God's gracious enough for us to come to the end of our lives and we know that we're at the end of our lives and we can look back on our lives, let us go to glory worshiping God. Amen. And we can be like Jacob, we can be like Israel and say, God, I didn't deserve any of this, and you didn't just do that, you did so much more. Never thought I'd see Joseph again, and you've shown me him, but not just him, you've allowed me to see his children. And when we look at our own lives, we can say, God, I can't understand why you would bless me so much. But God did. I want to give you just a little side note, something I ran across in studying, and maybe maybe there's something to this, maybe not, but you'll find that Isaac's eyes, when he got old, they were dim, and you'll find that Jacob's eyes, when he got old, they were dim. But you know, when you look at Moses and his life, the Bible says that when he died, his eye was not dim. And you know, I think there's some spiritual significance to that, because Isaac wasn't faithful to God all the time. He didn't love God. He didn't commune with God as much as he could have, as much as he should have. And Jacob was the same way. He had opportunities to walk with God, to serve God in a great way, and he didn't always do that. Moses was a man who walked with God and talked with God and knew God face to face unlike anybody else. And when he came to the end of his life, his eye was not dim physically, but certainly spiritually. He had this spiritual discernment, this understanding that God had given him because he sought the face of the Lord. And may it be in our lives that our eye is not dim, that spiritually we can see God, we know God, we understand God, and walk with him. We see the future provision that you can trust in. As Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, we see faithful worship that Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped God. And then we see some final assurance. Verse 22 in our text says, By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now Joseph had just been told by his father that one day you're going to go and see the land of Israel. You're going to be able to go back home and to the land of promise. But Joseph, when he died, and you can read about that in Genesis chapter 50, he made a promise, a blessing about the end of his, at the end of his life. Genesis 50 verses 22 to 26. The Bible says, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And Joseph, when he died, he knew it'd be a long time, but he knew one day God would take his people from where they were and take them back to the promised land. And even in death, he had faith in God for the future. He had final assurance. And don't you think it's interesting that he didn't say, take my body back? He said, take my bones back. He knew that they were going to be in Egypt for a long time. But he knew that no matter how many decades passed, no matter how many centuries might pass, he knew that God would fulfill his promise. And the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, one day they would go back to the promised land. And he said, listen, I want you to promise me, I want you to swear to me today that when you go back, you take my bones with you. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, friends, that we can have some assurance even in the face of death. I don't know how much longer any of us have on this earth, but I know this, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to take you to heaven with him one day. Amen. Now listen, remember, death is separation, right? Amen. When you die, your body's left here, but your spirit is gone. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? Amen. But do you know that God promised one day he's going to glorify our body? He's going to make our body like the body of Christ, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, when you get saved, that's salvation. When you get changed throughout your life to be more like Jesus, that's sanctification. And one day when you get made to be exactly like Jesus, that's glorification. And all of us have to look forward to that. And I want you to understand something today. You can have assurance today that if I die today, if it's 100 years before Jesus comes back or 1,000 years, it doesn't matter. The promise is still just as true. One day I'm going to have a glorified body and be in heaven with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And I know that today. Amen. Just like Joseph knew that they'd take his bones up and take him over to the promised land. You can have assurance today, even in the face of death. Why? Because Romans 6:22 says, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." You see, we come to God by faith in Jesus Christ, and we can have faith even in the end. We can have faith that God will give future provision. We can have faith that we can worship God even when we're dying. And we can have faith and assurance of what God has in store for those who trust in him. Listen, eye has not seen. We cannot even begin to comprehend the things that God has in store for those that love him. Do you believe him today? Do you believe him today? We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while they're coming, would you stand with me, please? By faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph. What did they do? Well, they gave a blessing. They gave a blessing to their descendants, but those blessings were based on the promises of God. Now listen, you can have well wishes to your kids all you want to. I want the very best for my kids. You think about Joseph, he got to see his not just his kids, but he got to see Manasseh's kids to the third generation, his grandkids and his great-grandkids and his great-great-grandkids. He got to see that. And God had blessed him. But here's the thing, what he gave them in blessing, the promises he was able to pass on to them, those were the promises that came from God. Now, you can leave your kids a big inheritance. You can leave them lots of money. You can leave them houses and cars and all kinds of things. But none of that really matters. What really matters is what you pass on to them from the Word of God. The promises of this book are promises for all who believe. So it can be promises to you. It can be promises to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. But only by faith. If we believe these things and we teach them to believe them as well. Let's walk by faith. Let's live by faith. And whenever our time is to face death, let's do it by faith because our faith is in Christ alone. Amen. Lord's convicting your heart of anything. Would you come right now while we sing?
Page 521.
Number 521.